Grace to you and peace from God the Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. He had seen so much. John baptizing crowds in the Jordan River. Two miraculous catches of fish. Jesus casting out demons. Illnesses instantly healed by the word of Jesus. The lame walking. The deaf hearing. Storms stilled instantly. Thousands fed with one boy's lunch. His master riding into the holy city on a donkey. Disciples' feet being washed by Jesus. A new supper instituted in the midst of an old. The Christ betrayed into the hands of sinners by one of his own and arrested in the garden. The Savior nailed to the cross. A spear thrust into his side. His empty tomb. A prison cell powerfully opened by an angel. The greatest persecutor of Christians become an apostle of Jesus. His own care for his Lord's mother. The destruction and fall of Jerusalem. The spread of the church throughout the world. His own service as bishop of the church in Asia Minor. He was now the last living apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had survived attempts to make him a martyr, even that of being dipped in boiling oil. And now, the beloved disciple of Jesus, brother of James, son of Zebedee, son of thunder, was exiled on the island of Patmos. I, John, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. It was on Patmos, on a Sunday, as John was receiving the very means of God's grace, that the revelation was given to him. After reporting this introductory material, John proceeds with the text we have in our epistle lesson for today. That scene there that John has of heaven is a troubling scene. Drama has unfolded before his very eyes. On the throne of heaven, John sees the Father seated with a scroll in his right hand. The scroll is covered in writing, both the front and the back. That means that its message was complete. Nothing lacking. And since it was in the right hand of the Father, as the Scriptures say, it is the hand of deliverance for God's people, the hand of power. And so within that scroll, the contents of man's salvation. But seven seals kept that scroll closed. Seven serves as the number of completion, so it is truly secure. A mighty angel steps forth and asks, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" No one could. No one in heaven or on earth or under the earth had the power or the authority to open up that scroll. For there would be no unauthorized breaking of those seals. It could only be opened by God's design and His approval. Mankind's salvation, then, went through one path only. This was so troubling for John, he began weeping loudly, he records. Mankind appeared to be doomed. There was no hope to be found. That is our dreadful condition in sin. There are none who are good, not even one. St. Paul writes, "No one is thus worthy of salvation. None of us can possibly save ourselves." Yet, there is hope. One of the elders came to John, not an angel, but one who was like John, who himself was in need of redemption and salvation. "Weep no more," he said. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, that had been prophesied long before. They were titles reserved for the Lord Christ alone, his chosen one. There was always great mystery and intrigue surrounding the Christ. Who was this man? Jews today still do not believe he has ever come into this world. And Saul had fought against anyone who claimed that Jesus was that Christ. That is, until he met the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul knew. At that very moment, he was talking to the Lord God Almighty, the very one he was seeking to serve by persecuting the Christians. What a shock. When that voice of God that he knew was God himself turned out to be Jesus. Saul was changed from that moment on, believing Jesus now to be the very Christ of God. John heeded the elder's words, paid close attention to that throne of God, front and center, between that throne and the four living creatures and the 24 elders was a lamb. The lamb was standing and looked as though it had been slain. The marks from the wounds that led to its death still visible. No doubt, thoughts rushed into John's mind of the baptizer's great words, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And from there, John's mind would race to the Passover lamb that had saved the people of God by its own blood. And now this lamb was standing in heaven before the Father and all the company of heaven. More than that, the Lamb took that sealed scroll from the right hand of the Father. He was allowed to take hold of what no one else dared even touch. And there was great rejoicing at this wondrous turn of events. The salvation of mankind was now in the hands of this slain Lamb, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God. Sound familiar? Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be the people of God. What John was bearing witness to was the very activity of his own master, his own Lord he had known so well, his beloved Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb who was slain. He alone is able to take hold of mankind's salvation, and he alone is the one who has made it all happen. The Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, he became that Root of David. He conquered over our enemies. And taking our sin into his body, the Lord Jesus suffered and he died upon the cross, shedding his blood for you. Because of what Jesus has done for all of us, by his death upon the cross, God has rewarded him with being able to receive that scroll and to open it up for all to see. It is truly astounding. The Lord Jesus taught us to pray in his prayer, "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Heaven is God's dwelling place, his perfect and righteous kingdom. It is ruled by his grace, his peace, his joy, And yet, it is in turmoil and eager anticipation for the salvation of mankind to be accomplished. We usually pray for the things in heaven to take place here upon earth. And yet this vision of John has the rejoicing in heaven dependent on what happens here on earth. The Son of God has to descend from heaven and join this human race. The heavenly host cheered that very fact as God's Son was born into this very world, but then sat on pins and needles as their God and Lord was nailed to the cross, suffered, died, and was buried. But 3 days later, the tension melted away as the Lord Jesus rose again from the dead. And those four living creatures, the 24 elders around the throne, all the company of heaven knew that Jesus had paid the whole price for all sin. His resurrection confirmed that great victory. Their God, their Lord, was truly victorious over sin, over death, over the devil. What John is blessed to see in the vision is the return of the Lamb to his right, to the right hand of his Father, following the completion of his work for our salvation. This is the ascension of our Lord, if you will, a bit earlier in the church year than expected. Nonetheless, it reveals the fully finished work of our salvation, accomplished only by the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, the Lord Jesus himself. Like John, we rejoice in Jesus, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood has set us free to be the people of God. And what unfolds in the rest of the revelation leads to the very end of time. While John has indeed seen so much, there is still so much for him and us to see. The return of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will usher in the resurrection of the dead, the resurrection of your bodies, the life everlasting, and the life of the world to come. And it shall all be so because of Jesus, the Lamb who was slain, the one and only Savior of you, of me, and all the world, worthy is Christ indeed. Amen. Now the peace that passes all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.